I would first like to wish you all a very blessed and happy New Year. On behalf of His Excellency Bishop Kelly, Bishop Carroll, all of our priests, our seminarians and brothers, and of course for Mother Mary Bosco and all the sisters as well, may you all have a blessed and happy New Year. The epistle for the Feast of the Circumcision is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story about a king and two infants. The king, according to a certain author, was one of the many kings of France. And while the author does not give us the king's name, he does, however, tell us that his reign was marked by constant bloody wars. The Catholic people of France, and most especially the nobility, longed for peace and an end to the bloody conflicts. It just so happened on one particular day, the king died suddenly. The heir to the throne was one of his infant sons. You see, by royal decree, certain members of the nobility had been empowered by the king to immediately choose one of his sons to rule after him, in the event that his death should be sudden. On the appointed day, these noblemen met in the royal nursery to decide there, while the two infants slept, which one would be king. Now you have to understand, my dear people, how serious a matter was the line of succession. For some of the most brutal and bloody conflicts were carried out by Catholic people over the question of who was the rightful monarch, who was the true heir to the throne. We are not so familiar with this kind of thing, since in our so-called modern era, most forms of government, like our own United States, are governments in which people choose their leaders by way of election. The absolute rule by a monarch, which was so characteristic of most of the world for thousands upon thousands of years, It came to an end, for the most part, in the wake of World War I. For World War I put an end, for the most part, to the way the world was governed by absolute monarchs. But in the royal nursery, that morning the nobles observed the sleeping infants. As they looked upon them, they wondered how they could choose. But as they deliberated, one of the noblemen noticed how one of the infants slept with both his fists tightly clenched, while the other slept with his palms open. He pointed this out to the others, who proceeded to choose for king the infant who slept with his palms open. And he indeed, as this author tells us, turned out to be a gentle and wise king. In today's epistle, St. Paul tells us that the purpose of the incarnation, the purpose of the incarnation of the Son of God, was to save us from our sins and to teach us the way to heaven. That is how we were to live our lives here. And thus did the apostle say that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world. In other words, my dear friends, we should live virtuous lives here. We should live our lives in the state of grace. And we should not live sinful and worldly lives. By worldly lives, I mean living our lives for this world and the things of this world. But to save us, and to teach us how to live, the eternal Son of God willed to be clothed, as it were, in our human nature. He willed to put on our sinful flesh. And as today's gospel records, he submitted himself to the most humiliating and painful circumstances of the rite of circumcision. The ancient rite of circumcision consecrated a Jewish male to the service of God from the service of the world. And according to St. Ambrose, it was a kind of purification from sin. God commanded in the Old Testament that all Jewish males were to be circumcised. Now, our divine Savior was not bound to the law of circumcision. He was not, because he was not in need of any purification. But he submitted himself to the law, as St. Paul says, that he might be a propitiation for his brethren. Christ, thus, even as an infant, longed to shed his blood that we might live. In fact, from the first moments of his incarnation, the Son of God longed to redeem us, longed to shed his blood for our salvation. A certain author put it this way. He said, "The divine infant Jesus has so loved us that he could not wait, as it were, to shed his blood in anticipation of his sacred passion and death." And he lies, my dear friends, he lies in the manger with his palms open, like the little king of France who lay with open palms and who was a gentle ruler. So does the divine infant lie in the manger with palms open. For he is, as the prophet Isaiah put it, he is the Prince of Peace. He is our most gentle king and ruler. And we, my dear friends, are subjects to this divine infant Savior. It is no accident that he is often depicted in manger scenes with palms open. For his palms are open to receive us. His palms are open to embrace us with a tenderness and a love. Even as his palms are open in the manger so that one day they could receive the nails in order that he might be fastened to the cross, so that on the cross he could shed all his precious blood and not just a few drops. For although the few drops of precious blood shed at the circumcision were more than enough to redeem us, they were not enough. They were not enough for him to convince us of just how much he loves us. You think about it, my dear people, he has not spoken a single word, and the world does not know him, nor his redemptive mission. And yet today, he marks the path of eternal salvation for all with just a few drops of his precious blood. You know that the Feast of the Circumcision coincides every year with the beginning of a new calendar year. And this, for most people, in a symbolic sense, signifies a new beginning. January 1st, the Feast of the Circumcision, the beginning of a new year, is looked upon as a new beginning. The sad thing is that for so many, the end of one year and the beginning of a new year is always an occasion for so much mortal sin. Year after year, the world, despite the beautiful display of the New Year's fireworks in many cities around the world, still, far too many people seal and consecrate the new year to the flesh and to the devil. And this they do by sins of drunkenness, sins of impurity, and even sins of blasphemy. But the church, on the other hand, seals and consecrates each new year with the first drops of the precious blood of Christ. May we, my dear people, who are so blessed with the one true Catholic faith, and who know the divine infant of Bethlehem and why he came. May we resolve in this new year to seal and consecrate ourselves to him and his Sacred Heart, which is so replete with love and mercy for us, by circumcising our hearts. That is, by rooting out sin and our attachments to the world and its things. May we do this as well by a more fervent and frequent reception of the sacraments, and by setting aside a little more of our day for prayer. By that I mean, my dear people, praying our morning offering at the start of our day, being faithful to our evening prayers and our nightly act of contrition, praying at least 5 decades of the rosary every day, and even fostering the holy practice of saying short aspiratory prayers throughout our day. Prayers such as, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Or such prayers as, My God, I love Thee. Or, My Jesus, mercy, Mary, help me. Or in times of difficulty, when our patience and our virtue is tried, to pray, O My Jesus, I will suffer and bear all for Thee through Mary. How we ought, my dear friends, to turn off the radio in the car, to turn off the television, to get off the internet and the YouTube, to put down the phone, to spend less time looking at the news and less time on social media informing our family and friends and the world of what we are doing with our life, and instead using some of that time to inform God of how much we love Him, to inform God of what we are doing with our life, to tell God how sorry we are for our sins, or making acts of reparation to Him whose heart is broken at the ingratitude of billions of people. Even as we ask Him for blessings for ourselves, our families, and all that we do. Some of us here, perhaps, can resolve in this new year to pray a little more. But some here today, perhaps, should resolve to pray a lot more. But all of us, my dear friends, all of us can resolve to pray with greater attention and devotion. Be faithful then, my dear people, to fervent and devout prayer every day. And I must add, to the constant practice of virtue. Among the most profitable New Year's resolutions that anyone can make is to pray and to practice virtue. For how often is our patience, our charity, our meekness tested by someone or something. How then we ought to resolve to put into practice greater virtue, a greater charity and kindness towards this person or those people, or making excuses for those who offend us, or being more cheerful around others, and most especially forgiving others who have insulted us or wounded us in some way, never holding grudges towards anyone, or having a greater patience. That is, resolving not to complain about this or that difficulty or burden. For how, my dear friends, we, as I said, who know who that divine infant is and know why he came, how we ought ever to strive to suffer patiently and silently for him, whatever it may be, carrying our cross and offering all our pains and sorrows to our good Jesus, who so patiently and so silently suffered and offered everything for us and our salvation. And finally, how we must, if we will save our souls, how we must be pure and chaste according to our state in life. May these first drops of our Savior's precious blood purify our hearts, so that we may be worthy to be embraced by the divine infant, whose palms are open to receive us. God bless you, and may you have a blessed and happy new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.